Welcome back. Lavinia Planka uses movement as a tool for personal development and health improvements. For over 30 years, she has pursued the links among body, emotions, and the mind. Her training and professional career have included mime, dance, yoga, and the martial arts, in addition to being a master teacher of the Feldenkrais Method. Lavinia has published several books and audio programs, and she is currently the director of the Asheville Movement Center in North Carolina. Welcome to our program. Hi, today.
Hey, Liz. I'm spinning as we speak.
Uh-huh. You're here on the Sterling Spin. Are you literally?
Of course. I'm in my studio spinning as I speak to you.
Well, then you're going to have very high energy today.
I usually do.
Yes, you do. Thank you for joining us on the program. And you're going to be making your way to South Florida in March and sharing with us in a sold-out program some of the principles of Feldenkrais and movement. So let's start with your journey and where it began and what you're most passionate about. It seems today we were talking about stretching our mind, stretching our body, stretching our spirit. But it also seems like one of the common themes today that's rising up is passion. You're very, very passionate. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Wow. Well, the journey, as you know, is a long one. But basically, my passion, it's interesting that you say that, has always been, why is it that we move the way we move? Why is it that I can look at somebody five blocks away that I haven't seen for 5 years and recognize them from the back just because of the way they move? What is it about the way we carry ourselves that tells our story, and how could therefore changing the way I move change my story in some way to make my life better? So that has always been something that interested me. When I was younger, I began as a mime, as you said, because I was so interested in this aspect of how each person's body communicates emotions and stories. And then, after a very long career as a performer, I started to feel like I was physically falling apart. I had just, I felt like a burnt out athlete, basically, and I couldn't find a solution to the different aches and pains and issues that I had. And I started to search in all the different modalities, everything from massage and chiropractic to painkillers. And along the lines, I stumbled across an article by a man named Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais, where he spoke about that most of the problems that we have with our bodies, outside of course, accidents and trauma, are the result of habit, different habits that we developed, everything from the way we learned how to walk to different ways that we've imitated people to our lifestyle. And it just smacked me like total truth. And I began to study his work mainly as a self-improvement for myself. And through that process, just found that this work was so amazing that I wanted to share it with others and never look back, basically. I mean, it did improve my performing. It did get rid of my pain. But ultimately, I found that the way to reach people and the way to continue this study of how we are the way we are through our bodies was by doing the Feldenkrais Method. So that's really the Reader's Digest version.
So the Feldenkrais Method, thank you. That's a great and usually when we're in pain, we are looking for something to help us to get out of the pain. And we go to our natural, if you look at television, you'll see all the commercials for different products that you could take that will take that pain away. But whoever looks at changing something within myself so that I can alleviate the pain, and I get the sense that that's what the Feldenkrais Method really offers us, is something within me can make a change or a shift. I can stretch myself a little bit more in terms of how I'm thinking about my relationship with myself, my body, my posture, my movement, my pain, and then I can experience something new, something else.
Exactly, but there's so much more to what you said. I mean, for example, all these pain medications, as you and I both know, don't take the pain away. They just mask it. They put it someplace else in the brain, but that doesn't mean that it has gone away, and many times it surfaces as something else because I've ignored the signs that my body has been talking to me about. Meanwhile, the pains that we're carrying are things that may be the result of emotions. It may be the result of our work. It may be the result of an injury, as I said before. One of the things that Moshe Feldenkrais said, he was actually a pioneer in the sense that he was one of the first people to talk about what we now call the body-mind connection. But he said there is no such thing as a body-mind connection. He said the body is the mind, and the mind is the body. I mean, where does your mind live? You know, we think that, oh, it lives somewhere in my head, somewhere in the front of my head. But actually, we know now that the mind and the body are a system that are communicating instantaneously with each other all the time. So every thought you have, and this so relates to some of the things that your other guests were talking about, every thought you have in one way or another manifests itself in your body. Every emotion you feel is going to nestle somewhere in your physiology. Every injury you have is going to affect your mind. So everything is constantly relating together. And what Feldenkrais's brilliance was, look, I can't figure out my brain. I can't analyze every emotion I have. It's too complicated. But I can study how I move. I can study how I stand. I can study how I breathe and become so adept at that that I can begin to understand how those habits in my body are creating tensions, are creating postures, are creating even stories within myself that are interfering with my life.
It's amazing. I'm feeling into what you're saying. So my first experience was, wow, this is big, this is a lot. Then the next level of it was, well, listen in, Liz, because there's something here. And then the next thing that happened was I tuned into my own body, and I felt this habitual posture of where I keep my arm and my shoulder, and I felt into an injury that has just been constant and ongoing. Sometimes I'm more aware of it, sometimes I'm less aware, but there were levels of resistance, I have to be honest and share. And maybe, you know, there's some conditioning too. I have a problem with my big toe because I have arthritis, and arthritis is arthritis, and it's there, and there's nothing I can do, and it's genetics. But you're really asking me to stretch here and to come to another place of understanding. How can I meet these habitual thoughts that condition what I experience in my body?
Right. Well, you've said a lot of really important things there. I mean, a fact is a fact. If you've had an accident and you've broken your collarbone, or if certain things have happened over the course of life that have affected the machine, you could say, the structure, the engineering, we're not always going to try to necessarily create some sort of magical reversal. But I can learn new ways around it. I can change my story. I can learn how to move in a more efficient way so that I'm not putting so much pressure on that big toe, so that I'm not aggravating the arthritis as much. I can reorganize the way I use my pelvis so that I'm not using my spine in the same way that's causing my leg to turn in that particular way. So there are many, many ways to look at it. The other thing that I want to address, because you keep using this word stretch, and I feel like stretch has such a connotation in our culture. It's like that I'm always supposed to be reaching for something, that I'm always supposed to be striving. In yoga, there's so much emphasis on the stress, stretch rather. Whew, I like that little Freudian slip there, the stress of the stretch.
Very and good. Good catch.
what I love about Feldenkrais is that, you know, their motto, the Feldenkrais motto is less pain, more gain, improve your brain. And the idea is that by taking the stress away from the stretch, by doing movements that don't take you to your limit, by doing movements that are small and comfortable, you're able to see where your issues are. We have a tendency in our culture, we have been so sort of conditioned to believe that the only way to get to something is to suffer towards it, that we push, and then we can't hear the messages that our bodies are sending. We're so busy pushing that we can't even pay attention to what's going on inside of ourselves. And so Feldenkrais's movement sequences that he developed, thousands of these brilliant little movement sequences, help you start to see, well, what is it that I'm doing with my big toe? Why is it that I'm still protecting that shoulder injury? What is it that makes me hold my breath every single time that shoulder goes up? Could it be related to even more things that I'm doing? This is the beauty of this work, is that it's actually anti-stretch in the physical, but then it stretches your mental capacity, your ability to actually expand your field of attention so that you're taking in more about yourself. So you're stretching everywhere but in the physical.
Well, you know, there's definite sense when I think of stretching, that sense of reaching. And so if I'm stretching my mind to be more aware and more open, mm-hmm. if I'm stretching mm-hmm. myself to try something new, if I'm stretching myself to think in a different way, that really feels good, because there's sort of like opening, this sense of opening. But there's also that stretching that I feel, that reaching tendency, which pulls me off center, because mm-hmm. we have a tendency to want to lean into grabbing something or taking something or stretching. And I'm looking at myself, I'm like, wow, I could topple over if I reach that way. So Feldenkrais is spelled Feldenkrais, because I think some people want to really know how to spell it. And Lavinia,
oh, yeah,
why don't we drive the people who are listening to your website so that they can learn more, because you have a lot of information about Feldenkrais method on your website.
I do, and my website is just so complicated, lavinaplanka.com.
Let's spell it out.
Sure. It's L A V like Victor I N I A P LONKA.com. And there's
and
right on the
also,
homepage.
Right.
Go,
I was going to say, they can also, you know, I think an easy way to get there is through Asheville Movement Center. Can people get to you through Asheville Movement Center also? Is that another alternative?
Yeah. AshevilleMovementCenter.com. That's the site I have for the classes that are happening here locally.
Right.
So I have those two websites. One, you know, they sort of interact with each other, really.
So Lavinia Planka is your name. Where are you from? Where originally?
Originally? Well, I guess you could say New Jersey, if you hadn't figured it out from the accent yet.
So I was going to say, you sound like you're from the Northeast, and I know that you were involved with the Guggenheim. I remember seeing something in your materials. You were involved with the Guggenheim Museum. Do you have an artistic ability also that is part of your...
Well, the interesting thing is that it was the Guggenheim Museum that allowed me to do my Feldenkrais training. You know, you'll love this story. When I discovered Feldenkrais, I was, you know, basically your little mime running around doing tons of shows all over the place and barely able to kind of make it at the end of every month, but, you know, having the integrity of being a starting artist. And I discovered this Feldenkrais method that was, you know, an expensive training. And I was like, how can I do this? How can I afford this? I need a sign from the universe that there will be some way that I can afford this training and be able to do it. And then 3 days later, I get a call out of the blue from the Guggenheim Museum saying, you know, normally they use visual artists, but they had had one movement program that they supported for their artist-in-residence programs. And the movement artist had just quit and gone to Japan and had, out of the blue again, recommended me. And the contract paid exactly the amount of the first year's tuition and ended 3 days before the training began.
I think you got your sign.
Oh, it was so obvious. And basically, I ended up working with them as their only movement artist for the next 8 years. It sort of helped support my whole transitional process. And I began to introduce Feldenkrais principles into the inner city schools in the South Bronx and in Brooklyn before I ended up moving into my private practice. So it was a wonderful, wonderful adventure.
And Lavinia, you are a published author now. You've been to Beijing. You just came from a training in Mexico. Tell us a little bit about the work that you're and how you bring it forth on this planet.
Well, the thing that is unique, I guess, about my take on the Feldenkrais method is that because I came to it from a background of theater and then a lifetime of study of different spiritual disciplines, I right away bought into how this method is useful for living one's whole life, not just rehabilitation from an injury. So many people think of the Feldenkrais method as, you know, just about moving out of physical pain, and that's wonderful, and it's great work. But I saw it from a bigger perspective, that, again, this idea of how my body tells a story. And when I started teaching my students, and I was always bringing these metaphors in, they started to suggest that I make workshops that have different themes, like fear and love and creativity. And then out of that emerged the books. And I've continued to develop that idea. I, in fact, have a blog called The Creative Body, where I'm developing these workshops and these experiences that I call immersions that blend the arts, mindfulness, Feldenkrais, writing, discussion into a full human experience, so that it's not just about the movement, but the movement is there as an asset. Feldenkrais once said, many times said, that his work was designed to help us realize our avowed and unavowed dreams. It wasn't just about getting rid of an injury, but it was about living as a complete, functional individual to our highest potential. And I feel that that's what I want to bring to people by combining the different disciplines that I've studied over the years.
That's great. That's wonderful. I hear Feldenkrais, and you're talking about it, and the potential that it has is exciting me. Right now, as I'm listening to this program, is there anything that I can do that we can offer our listeners so that they can have experience of awareness of how Feldenkrais works, on how it activates this realized and unrealized potential that exists within us and our expression in this world? Saying it all, I'm like, yeah, there's something here.
Well, we could do like a very small thing to just show what the potential would be to expand your sense of yourself in your chair around you in this moment, if you want to try it with me.
I sure would. I'm game.
Cool. All right. Well, you and everyone else that's listening there who wants to try this, sit away from the back of your chair so that your feet are flat on the floor and you're not leaning against anything. And just a few times, just turn to your right to look behind you. Just, you know, as if somebody called your name, or you want to see how far easily you can turn to your right. Okay? And so I'm assuming that everyone's doing that, and you're doing it slowly. It's not like you have to whirl around or anything, but you're just feeling what goes with you. What are you feeling? Does it feel comfortable? Does it feel like a strain? If it feels like a strain, you cut back on it a little bit. Notice as you're doing it, are you breathing, or is there already some kind of a striving or straining, even though nobody's looking? This feeling of like, I want to see how far I can go, and just let go of that. And you just keep on turning and keep on returning several times, and then pause. And now take your left hand and put your left hand on your forehead as if, for those of you who are old enough to remember this commercial, it's sort of the I could have had a V8. You have sort of slap in your head as if you were going oy vey. And so just keep your hand on your forehead like that, so that your elbow is in front of your face. And keeping your hand like that with your elbow in front of your face, could you once again turn to your right a few times? You're not going to go as far, because now you've got a different part of your body that has joined into the process. And so something's happening in your upper quadrant as you're turning to your right and as you're returning back to face the front. And just do that a few more times. Again, noticing your breathing, and can the breathing in some way be part of this dance? It's, instead of looking at it as an exercise, I like to look at it as I'm doing this sort of very slow motion, almost Tai Chi-like dance with my arm, my shoulder, my head, my neck. And now come back to the center and put your hand down and pause again. And then could you just do the original turning to look behind yourself? And what does it feel like now? What do you think, Liz?
I loved it. And first of all, thank you for the reminder to breathe. Very important.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
I realized.
It's amazing.
I first got caught up in exactly what you said. You were right on. Oh, how far can I turn my head around? Something like jumped in and took over me. And it was like, look how far I could go. Ah! That's where I stop. And that's when you said, you know, this isn't like a see how far you can go and push yourself. So I met that within myself, realized I wasn't breathing. When I put my head on, then I felt connected. I felt a unification within myself, and I felt aligned, and I felt on purpose, and I had a beautiful feeling. And then when I took my hands off and I went and I did the final turn, it was with so much more ease and peace that I was able to make the turn just for the sake of making the turn. And it really wasn't about how far I went. It was about feeling great in making a movement with my body that was part of me. So I had a really nice experience. I hope our listeners did too.
Oh, I hope they had fun. And that's just, you know, a tiny, tiny little segment. And I loved what you said, which is another level of this work, about when you said when you put your hand on your head, how you felt connected to yourself. You know, because there's this whole other aspect that we don't ever pay attention to from the sort of the science of body language, and actually is the sort of basis of the content of one of my books, Walking Your Talk, is that in each part of our body, there are connections and relationships to our brains and our emotions and how they respond. And our hands, from ancient times, from ancient India, have been considered our thoughts connected to our mind. And your hand, the palm of your hand, is the physical part of your being. The back of your hand is the emotional part, and the side of your hand is the intellectual part. And so when you put your palm on your forehead, you're literally connecting your thoughts and your sensations to each other. I mean, isn't that awesome when you think about our gestures? You know, when I slap myself in the head, I'm actually making some sort of neurological connection that we're not aware of, and we're doing those kind of gestures and postures all the time unconsciously, and yet all of it has deep, deep meaning.
It's fascinating. Absolutely.
Yeah, not too many people pick up on what you picked up on.
Yeah.
At least not in their first experience.
Well, I really had a wonderful experience, and I love the title of your book, Walking Your Talk. Our guest is Lavinia Planka, and you can meet her online at LAVINIAPLONKA.com. She's speaking to us from Asheville, North Carolina. She's in her studio. She's spinning here on the Sterling Spin in your equipment and your machinery, and you work with people in the Feldenkrais awareness through movement lessons that change how people move, think, and act. And you also combine that with the revitalization of the awareness of the whole self. And self-image and posture are related, you say, that attitude really affects our behavior. I know if I walk tall with my head up, I feel one way, and if I'm down or feel beaten up, I'll walk another way. Is there something that our listeners can do to lift their own emotional self-image and self-awareness? Is there, with posture, with awareness, how can we do that?
Well, of course, the two most powerful things that you can do are, and this may sound really corny, but one of them is smile. When you smile, and if you even right now really slowly did a smile as I'm speaking, literally the nerves in your body all respond to that action of the mouth turning upward in a way that pulls your posture in a different position. If you now try to frown, you'll feel how just the action of the frown creates a different relationship to gravity and causes you to collapse into yourself ultimately. you know, there have been studies done where they've realized that people who have slumped posture are more prone to depression and heart disease. I mean, that's a correlation now that's actually been proven that Feldenkrais spoke about many, many years ago. So by intentionally, mindfully bringing a small smile to your face, you can improve your posture all by itself. And then the other very important thing, which we've already touched on, is the breath. Because we're always holding our breath because of anxiety or our self-image or habit. And to just become mindful of the movement of the body in response to the breathing. In other words, what happens in my ribs, my belly, my back, as I inhale and as I exhale. If you're about to go into a meeting and spend a few seconds just bringing that smile and bringing your breath back online, that's going to do a lot. You know, yes, certainly, you know, pulling yourself up a little bit can certainly help. But sometimes when I pull myself up, there's a tendency to once again hold the breath because it's almost like a bravado kind of thing going on. And that's great that, you know, fake it till you make it, but you want to connect your breath to that.
Thank you. So. Wonderful, wonderful. I got it. I feel it. I certainly, when I had the smile on my face and you said frown, I was like, I'm not doing that. Because even feeling into it, I'm like, no way, Jose, I'm not changing that up. And, of course, the breath is vital, and it's with us 24/7, and it's really a question of our awareness on mm-hmm. our breathing. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the world. Thank you for coming to South Florida in March.
Oh, I know can't that wait.
It's so beautiful. You'll love it. I know Asheville is beautiful. South Florida, too. Everywhere where we're listening, it's all a wonderful world. And today, I really feel that just the gift of having had this time to share with you Lavinia Planka, Asheville Movement Center, if you're down in North Carolina. And here in South Florida, you're going to be facilitating a class and also offering some private programs. You can contact Lavinia through her website, LavinIaPlonka.com. Thank you again for joining us. Beautiful, beautiful woman. We'll see you soon.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it, Liz.
You bet. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.